Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. We give God all the glory, the honor, and the praise on tonight just because of who he is. Welcome to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. It's just a great day to be alive. I tell you, this is the day the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and being glad in it. I welcome all of you to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. Again, we're on two platforms tonight. We are on Blog Talk Radio, and we are on Blab. So I'm just trying out the two platforms to see how things go. I like the Blab platform because you can actually come in and see me on your screen and actually take a seat. So for those of you who are following me on Facebook, you can go over to my Facebook page and you can click on that link and you'll actually be able to see me. I'm sitting right here in my chair, and I welcome those who have come over on Blab, Reverend Noreen, and also we had Reverend Noreen, and also we had another young lady stop by earlier. So we just thank God for everybody who's stopping by to be a part of the broadcast on tonight. Tonight we want to talk about fear. We want to talk about overcoming fear, overcoming fear. And I want to say hello to all of those of you on Blog Talk Radio. I see you out there. And later on I'm going to be opening up the phone line so that you can come in. You can come in at any time, as a matter of fact. If something that I say triggers something with you, even on Blab, you can come in on at any time. If you want to come in and take a seat, or if you want to press one on Blab and let your voice be heard. But we're going to be talking today about overcoming fear. Overcoming fear. So many of us deal with this thing called fear. I was reading my book today. I pulled up my book. Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want, which is a book that I wrote in 2007, and I was reading up on what I wrote about fear. Here's the book for those of you on Blab, Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want. And I was reading on fear, and one thing that I wrote about fear in 2007 is amazing that I wrote it. It says that fear is a figment of your imagination. Fear is a figment of your imagination. And, you know, as I read that today, I had to think about that because for so many of us, fear is very real. Fear is very real. Now, the reason that we say fear is a figment of your imagination is because you can't touch it, you can't feel it, you can't smell it. Some people say you can't smell fear, but it's more like an emotion. It's not tangible. It's an intangible thing. But most of us here, if we were to be honest, we would admit that we have had some experience with fear. We have had fear come in and wrap itself around us and stop us from moving forward to do the thing that we were striving to do. So many times when you get something great in your mind and you say, you know what, I'm going to write that book, or I'm going to preach that sermon, I'm going to make a speech, or I'm going to go and write the play and begin to put my play on the stage. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And so often when we say that we're going to do it, the first thing that you feel, in more cases than not, the first thing that you feel is fear. And I'm a witness. I'm raising my hand. I will testify that fear has come over me and tried to stop me so many times. Listen, I'm double tasking today. I have Blog Talk Radio over here on my left side. I have Blab in front of me. This is a new platform for me. I said, you know what? I'm going to go on the air on the audio as well as video. And even like 15 minutes ago, fear, I felt fear. I felt that, like, the palpitation of fear. You know what I'm talking about? That palpitation of fear. When fear comes and it makes your heart beat faster, it makes you start to sweat, you start to get a little bit nervous, and fear can make you back down if you let it. Yeah, fear can make you back down and not do what you're endeavoring to do if you let it. But I challenge you tonight to overcome fear. I challenge you tonight to put one foot in front of the other and move forward and do what you are endeavoring to do, whatever it is. It may be getting more involved in a relationship. It may be getting more involved in your church. It may be going for that promotion on the job. Whatever you are endeavoring to do, I challenge you, I dare you to put one foot in front of the other and say, you know what? I'm going to move forward. And I'm glad I said that. And you guys, again, the seats are open, the phone lines are open, you can jump in at any time. And I'm glad I said that. Tell yourself, I'm going to do it no matter what. No matter what. And I'm glad I said that when I talked about talking to yourself. Because not only do, when it comes to fear, not only do you have to talk to yourself, but you have to talk back to fear. You have to talk back to fear. You have to begin to say, fear, you're a figment of my imagination. You're false evidence appearing real. You are trying to make me believe a lie. You are trying to make me believe that I can't do this thing that I want to do. You are trying to make me believe that I won't be successful. You are trying to make me believe something that is not true. And fear, I'm going forward anyway. I am not going to let you stop me. Let me tell you a story. Many years ago, before I preached my first sermon, I hadn't even begun to preach, but I knew that I was called to preach. I was at a women's retreat. And we're at this women's retreat, and it's Friday night. It's the first night. And I'm there. I'm there to receive. I say, it's going to be a great weekend. God is going to speak to me. We're going to have a good time. So I'm there at this women's retreat. And the preacher who was supposed to speak turned around, and she said, somebody has the word tonight, and it's not me. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, well, who is it? Because I came to hear her. I'm saying, why isn't she going to preach? I came to hear her preach to me. I needed some motivation. I needed some inspiration. I needed to hear what God was going to say to me through this woman of God. And then she began to have people stand up and testify. So this young lady, this woman, she was maybe in her 40s, early 40s, she stood up and she was weeping. And she said, I can't worship God. I can't worship God because you guys are worshiping him as Father, and, you know, every time I don't have that relationship with him like that. I'm so jealous of you and your worship. I'm so devastated that I can't worship God the way that you all do. And the Lord deposited a word into my spirit for this woman. But let me tell you something. I was scared. I was petrified. And I said, no way am I going to stand up in front of all of these women. There were about 50 women there, but for me that was a lot. There were about 50 women there, and little old me was not getting ready to get up and speak to her something that the Lord had deposited into my spirit for her. So women jumped up all over the room. Women jumped up, and they started to minister to this woman. They started to minister to her. And it was so funny because I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, that's not it. That's not it. And I can hear the Lord saying, well, you go ahead and tell her what I told you. So I said, no, I'm just going to go over here in the corner and hide. And I made my way over to the corner thinking that I could hide from God, thinking that I could hide and not be called out. But after about 15 women had spoken to this woman, I thought it was over. The woman of God turned around, the one who said she didn't have the word, but we had the word. She turned around, she spun around, and she looked at me, and she pointed at me, and she said, you, are you ready? Are you ready? I tell you, if I could have crawled through the wall or the floor or crawled under that piano that I was standing behind, I would have done so. But there was a boldness that rose up in me. In spite of all of this fear, my heart was pumping Kool-Aid, and this boldness rose up in me, and I said, I don't care what they think about me. I don't care what they say. I'm just going to do what the Lord told me to do. I'm just going to say what God told me to say. And then I began to speak to the woman. And I begin to say, the Lord is saying that you have to forgive your father and forgive your brothers and forgive those people, those men in your life that have hurt you, but especially your father. And this woman begins to cry. She begins to boo-hoo it. And I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have made the woman cry. But deep inside, I knew that she was weeping because the Lord was speaking to her. The Lord had spoken to her, and the Lord used me. And for me, that was the beginning of my experience in the knowledge of the fact that I was called to flow in the prophetic. That was the beginning. Not to say that fear didn't come back again, because there are a lot of times, even now, when the Lord tells me to speak, and I'll feel a little twinge. I'll feel that twinge of fear, but I move forward anyway. So you have to talk. You have to talk back to the devil. You have to talk back to fear. You have to say. You have to shout it out. I'm not going to let fear stop me. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to allow fear to rob me of living to the fullest of my capacity. Because you have to know that God has given you unlimited potential. God has given you unlimited capacity, and God wants to stretch you. He wants you to press your way through these things that will try to hinder you, and fear is one of them. But God wants you to press your way through that so that you can be all that he has ordained for you to be. You are a phenomenal woman. You are awesome, sister. You are created in the image of God. You can do, Jesus said, greater things. Will we do greater things? Signs and wonders will follow us. And it may not be you laying hands on anybody or healing anybody, but it may just be the fact that your life and what God does through you will be a sign to others that God truly is with you. And they will wonder how they can be like you. They will wonder how you do what you do. They will wonder, because people will count you out. Amen. I see you over there, Reverend Lenora. Amen. Reverend Noreen, people will count you out. Reverend Noreen says that's her scripture, signs and wonders. And we were talking about that on Saturday when I was blabbing and Sharon came in, and we were talking about wanting to see signs and wonders again with the people of God, signs and wonders in the church. So I want to say, dare to overcome fear. So one thing that you can do to overcome fear is to talk back to fear. Talk to yourself. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Listen, let me ask you a question. What is it that you have in your heart to do? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? What do you know that you will, what do you feel, what do you sense that you were born to do? And once you get a grasp of what your purpose is, what you were born to do, and your purpose is directly linked to your passion, whatever you're passionate about, that's a sign that you're called to move in that direction. That's a sign that that's a part of your purpose. So once you answer that, I want to ask you, what's stopping you? And if it's fear or anything else, I want to ask you a question, another question. Why are you letting fear stop you? Why are you letting other people stop you? Why are you stopping yourself? Why can't you be great? Why don't you believe that you were born to be great? God says, I'll make your name great. He says, I will make your name great. So you have to understand that God already has purpose, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And you have to believe that. You have to buy in. You have to buy into the fact that God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He wants to get the glory. God wants to get the glory out of your life. So I wrote some stuff down. I normally don't write down, but I wrote some stuff down. And Reverend Noreen, you can stop in and hop into a chair. And those of you on blog, you can press 1 if you want to be on the air with me. But I wrote some things down. The first thing God says, we have to talk back to fear. Then we have to press forward in spite of the fear. The third thing is replace fear with faith. And that's what I was just talking about, replacing fear with faith. The first thing is you have to know that God has a better plan for your life. You were not born to be mediocre. You were not born just to wander through life wondering whether you're going to do next. You were born with a great purpose, and that purpose is going to bring God glory. Once you really tap into it and step out there on center stage and say, "Here I am." You know, you have to step out there and say, "Here I am. Take me as I am. Here I am. Take me or leave me." Because some people will leave you. Some people will love you, and some people will hate you. But guess what? God is still preparing the table before you in the presence of your enemies. So even if you have haters, it's okay because you're blessed. You're blessed in the midst of your haters. You're blessed. You're still blessed. They can't people can't take your blessing from you just because they don't like you. Stop giving people the power to invalidate you. Stop giving people the power to stop you. No, they won't understand you. They're not going to like the way you talk. Listen, look at me. If you look at me right now, you know, I get excited. I make faces. I didn't even know until I got on blab that I made so many faces when I talk. You know, I'm not perfect, you know, but none of us are. And all of us are weird in some kind of way. We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have our hang-ups. But guess what? That hang-up, that little bit of weirdness, that idiosyncrasy, that little bit of goofiness that you have with you makes you uniquely you. You have to hear God on today. Come on. Come on. You have to be acceptable to yourself before anyone else can accept you. You got to, if you don't like you, how do you expect other people to like you? So you have to get to the point where you're like, "I'm not afraid of what people think about me." I had never said anything to that woman. She wouldn't have gotten free that night. Yes, God would have raised up somebody else, but she wouldn't have gotten free that night, and I would not have been launched into my purpose. And you know, Reverend Noreen and those of you on Blog Talk Radio, that whole weekend God used me. The next day he had the woman tap me on the shoulder. They were prophesying to the woman. And the lady said to me, "Do you have anything?" And I was like, "No, I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing." Because my pastor's wife was there. And I was so scared that she was going to go back and tell my pastor, "Rebecca's out there preaching without a license. Rebecca's out there prophesying." But it was in me, y'all. See, it was in me. And you have to know that there's a time in your life when what's in you is going to come out. So this woman tapped me on my back, and she said, "You got anything?" And I was like, "No, I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing." And she walked away. But the Lord, I said, Jesus, God said to me, "You better do what I called you to do. You better get up and tell that woman what I'm saying. You have the word in your mouth." And I stood up, and I went over to her, and I told her, I said, "God said, say he's getting ready to break every chain." And let me tell you something. I tell you no lie. This woman fell out in the spirit, and I never laid hands on her. I never touched her. I just spoke those words, and it was the spirit. See, we have to know that words are spirit that when your anointing is flowing, sometimes all you have to do is speak a word. Oh, glory. You have to hear me today. All you have to do is speak a word, and God will move through the Spirit. The Spirit touched that woman, and that woman fell out in the Spirit. And it was not me. It was God. Reverend Noreen is having church. Amen. Hallelujah. I hear you, Rev. Come on in, Rev. That woman fell out in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know it was the Lord. And that was the birth of my ministry. And had not I obeyed God, I wouldn't be the woman of God that I am today. So I just thank God for obedience. God bless you, Reverend Noreen. Welcome to the broadcast of Women to Women with Prayer. Hey, woman of God, God bless you. You're about to run?
I was about to run.
Amen.
I had to get on here because you, I'm telling you, you're right on point. We just, you don't got to touch nobody sometimes. God going to use who he needs to use in that time.
Yes.
You know, man made the thing about license. You know, I have my own ministry and my overseer. You know, it's my pastor. I love her. I've been with her for a long time. But I know what you're talking about. Sometimes we just want to step back. But I taught on fear just a couple of months ago. And that's why I put in the comment that it is a deed threat.
Go ahead. Go ahead and speak, woman of God.
So when you talk about fear, that's exactly what it is. We perceive what's going to happen. And that's how the enemy stops us. Okay, don't step out. Just like you said, you were scared that the first lady was going to go back and test. But look what happened. He was trying to shut you up, just like that happens to all of us. Because they think, how are we going to start something?
Yes, yes.
What your pastor can't reach and what you can't reach, I can reach. So my thing is, look, we're fighting for Jesus. That's number one.
Yes.
Number two, we know, your pastor knows, they know what we're about to do. You understand what I'm saying? They see it in us already. They just waiting for us to say, I'm coming out of this fear.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, for coming in. I put my followers in because there's a lot of us women who are fearful and scared to come out.
Yeah.
They're going to put us in the box, like you said, but we can't do it. My personality will reach somebody that you can't reach.
That's right. And that's the thing is, I like
what you said. When I put in the comments, you getting ready to make me run. Because I've been there, done that. And, you know, at 58 years old, you know, hey, I had to, you know, it wasn't a wonderful feeling to be, if I say I want to do this, are they going to allow me to do this?
Yeah.
I waited a long time and was in the church, PK kid. You know, mother and father being pastors, you know, being in where women were not allowed to be a missionary. You could be an evangelist, but nothing else.
That's it, yeah.
You know, you can't be no pastor. There's no way. There's no way in the world. But the Bible didn't say that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh.
All flesh. And that's what I was telling the sister on Saturday, that God would not put this anointing on us and give us this unction through the Holy Ghost to preach his gospel if we had not been called to preach. So you're speaking good. You're talking good. And you said that fear is a perceived. It's perceived. It's not.
That's a perceived threat. That's what it is, a threat. We're thinking, oh, I can't do this business. Or no, I can't watch. I can't say that I have a women's group and they think it's I'm gonna be their pastor. No, it's a ministry.
Yeah, and
pastor doesn't mean that you have to be in a church. And people who follow people.
That's right. That's right.
But it's not okay that they call you Pastor Rebecca.
Right, exactly. I've gotten flack for that, but you know, one of the points that I was making, and I'm looking over to the side, is I have two platforms. We have Blog Talk Radio listening to us, and I welcome all of you who came in on Blab. Also, Blog Talk, if you want to press 1, I'll put you on the air also. But one of the things that I put up there is that we allow fear to stop us because of other people's opinions of us. And that's what you were talking about, you know, the fact that often other people, I'm having feedback here, other people have these limited opinions of us. They know you. See, a lot of the time people know you when you come into the church. Like you said, Reverend Noreen, you grew up in the church, PK. So they saw you growing up. They knew you as that little girl. And the same thing with me. They knew me coming into the church as a sinner. I came in there straight out the street. I came in out the bar. My husband met me in the bar, evangelized to me about Jesus, invited me to church, got me to church only after invited me to another happy hour. And that's when the Holy Ghost in him began to convict me. So I didn't even get drunk that day. He totally, you know, messed up my party that day. But I thank God that he did, because the party that I've been having with the Holy Ghost, they say ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. I mean, my God. So when I came in there, I came in rough. I came in there, I mean, like, I'm straight out the streets. I didn't believe in a whole bunch of church stuff, because I thought all church people were hypocrites. If I was going to hell, it was going to be from the boss, too.
And Pastor Rebecca, I've seen it firsthand. I was shocked.
Wow.
You know, raising up. That's why I didn't like it. Anybody else? A couple of my friends is on here. Charles and his girlfriend. And I love them. They do liquor and all that other stuff, Charles. I love them. I don't condemn nobody. I enjoy them. I like watching them. I like talking to them. You never know what they might do when they come to New York, because they're in Kansas, I think, or somewhere like that. They might come to New York and come and visit me. We can't put nobody in a box, but they know who I am.
Amen. Amen. And you're not afraid to be around people. And that's the thing is, we can't allow, a lot of the times we get saved and we get into church and we allow that fear to stop us. We allow that church or that our religion to be a mask for the fear, because there are a lot of people in church who are scared. And the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love. Don't forget love. Love, power,
that's right,
and a sound mind. So I have to be operating in all three. I have to be operating in love and in power and in a sound mind. So there's no room for judgment there. And that means that I'm not afraid, like you, Reverend. I'm not afraid to go around people who are not necessarily walking as I'm walking or talking as I'm talking. So you gotta be able to love other people so that you can win some. I mean, because it's my desire that, and I know it's yours, that everyone will come to know this God we're talking about. Amen.
Kingdom minded.
Yes. Yes.
No matter how we do it, we might just be the one to plant the seed and someone else waters. You know, and then God gives an increase. So all we need to know is that we speak the truth, and that's it. And then that either come, or they're going to come sooner or later. They keep hanging around us, kingdom-minded folks. They're going to still come. Going up the church. We just got to give them the word, like you said.
Amen. And love. Paul says the most important thing that we have is love. If we don't love, we are clanging cymbal. And I want to talk about love, too, when it comes to fear. If you love yourself, I mean, if you truly love yourself, you will not allow fear or anything else to limit you. you won't allow fear to limit you. And that's why we have to deal with this thing. We have to deal with this thing, and we have to get a grip on fear instead of allowing fear to have a grip on us. So I want to just encourage those who are listening, don't allow other people's opinions to stop you. Now, I believe in the pastor. I believe in the church. I believe in decently in the order. I do believe in that. But like I said, I am so happy, and I know you do too, Reverend, and I'm so happy that day when my pastor's wife was sitting next to me, I just went ahead and said, you know what, I'm gonna speak. I didn't know it was prophesying. I didn't know anything about that. But I'm going to speak what the Lord has given me. And she was like, wow, wait until Donnie hears about this. That was her husband. And he never said anything about it, but he blessed us. When we went forth in ministry, he blessed us. And that's what I'm saying. That fear could have stopped me. Now, wait a minute. We didn't do it the way he would have wanted us to do it. But he didn't say, I'm going to stop you, because he knew, like you said, what was in us. And when what's in you, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. So, you know, we just got to keep moving forward. And tell me a little bit about your ministry, Reverend Noreen.
I am a health and life coach. I am someone who would encourage some people that ages between 22 and 35 that come and we talk and we laugh and we talk about what God has been doing in their life, because they really have a hard time within the church body, that they don't use their gifting in the church.
Amen.
I'm also a prophetic preacher, and I travel intensely. So when I get a downtime, when I really do enjoy Blab, I've been on here maybe about 2 months, but haven't done really any. I did one Blab. That's it.
So.
But I've been a guest and all that on other people's lab. But I find that ministry for me is dealing with that middle ground, and we just have to be honest, tell our testimonies. You know, I get down like there. I was raised up in the church. Some people weren't raised up in the church, in a holiness church at that. You know, so when I tell my story, you know, they tend to be able to relate, you know, to it's not all easy. We are a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I would say since I was 22, backslid a couple of times. And, you know, until I got the relationship with God at 25 and then just went forth and, you know, got the blessing from my bishop, my mother, my father, you know, because I was rebellious. You know, then I got married, and then, you know, I went through a dramatic, you know, I lost my husband at 34. And so I talk more about, my ministry is about young people. I didn't know that a lot of young people, maybe not married, but they were in relationships, they either got killed or they died, their partner, and then they're single again, or whatever. You know, and that's where I was. I was young, married, you know, no children, one daughter, you know. Then I lost my husband. Now I'm single again, widow, the ministry, was the first lady. You know, that's a big, you know, because nobody didn't know Pastor Rebecca how to deal with a young widow. I didn't know anybody. So, you know, of course the church people would say, oh, don't worry, get over it, you'll be all right, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, but y'all don't understand. So, and then I had to do just like you said, overcoming fear, overcoming from being pampered as the first lady, You know, I don't think about that.
Yeah.
You know, from plain old Hey West. Not being, you know, still respect you for the title, but when you're a first lady, it's a whole nother, you're in a whole nother arena.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of components to what I went through. So, what, you know, praise be to God, you know, I found who I was. But
amen.
You know, sometimes you lose yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a first lady, you lose yourself. And people don't tend to understand that either. You know, because they don't treat you the same. Don't treat you the same.
You're speaking. You're talking.
No more. And I saw this. This is the thing. I saw this when I was younger because I was a TK kid. So I saw wanting to be in my parents' circle and our circle, so they would treat us one way. But when my father died, he was changed.
Wow.
You know, so there's a lot of components. But I think fear, overcoming fear, you need to know that people will stop you. They have the audacity to hope. That's what we have.
Yeah.
We have the audacity to say, you know what? I'm going to do what God called me to do and just tell my story the way it is. And I don't care what people say anymore. I don't care how people look at me anymore because that's what it was. I was dressing up. Oh, I dare not have blonde hair.
I like your blonde hair.
Right. I better, yes, preacher kid, yes.
Yeah.
Being that living epistle, absolutely.
Amen.
You know, you have to have a hat on and all the other kinds. Oh, yeah, well, I would do all of that.
Yeah.
But then I found me through the deliverance, finding who I am, because I was depressed. I had no self-esteem. After my husband died, it was just like, you know, so when people, when you have woman to woman, I'm telling you, because it starts that you first to see a female pastor coming in and talking about fear. What?
Oh, yeah.
You don't normally see that. So I appreciate this platform that you have put out there tonight. And hopefully someone who's listening can understand that they can overcome fear, but we have to have it inside of us.
Oh, wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. I've been broadcasting for about 9 years, and I was doing it on the audio for a while, and I thank God for this platform. So I'm actually trying to introduce myself to – I'm introducing myself to this platform. But I was thinking about fear. What, so many things, and I think I'll – let me – I don't want to – let me slow down. I don't want to move too fast past your testimony. I thank God for you and for you sharing your testimony tonight. I really do. I mean, my God, there are people listening who are going through, have gone through the divorce, and they're going through the issues, the with identification, with being who they are and knowing who they are. And you are helping somebody. You know, you're helping somebody tonight in my circle. So I thank God for you coming and speaking and being transparent to let us know what you walk through. And I thank God for your ministry. And I thank God for your courageousness, you know, that you are courageous. You're a courageous woman of God, you know, stepping forth and saying, you know what, I'm going to do this. Because we have to get to a point in our lives when we know that fear is a spirit. See, God said he didn't give us that spirit of fear. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a hindering spirit, a demon spirit that comes to stop you from doing all that God ordained for you to do. Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I came so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The spirit, the demon on assignment comes to say, let me see if I could trip him up, or because this is woman to woman, trip her up. But we as women have been put in a box. We've been restricted. We've been confined. We have been considered to be second-rate citizens. We have been told to walk behind our men and not be beside them. We have been told to shut up and be quiet. We've gone through so much as women. We've been molested. We've been abused. We've lost our spouses. We've been divorced. We've been walked out on, rejected, abandoned, neglected. All of these things as women we've been through. And we cannot allow this fear, which is, I believe, is residue. Yeah, it's residue. If you've ever been rejected, you're afraid you'll be rejected again. If you've been hurt, you might be scared that you'll be hurt again. You might be scared. If you've been hurt in love or a relationship or a marriage, you might be afraid to open up your heart and really love again. So it's residue. It's that spirit that comes in and say, you know what, you tried this before, and if you failed before, it might say you failed. It didn't work. You were rejected. People didn't like you. People walked out on you. People hated on you. Now I'm telling my own story right now. People hated you. You were so hurt. Remember how hurt you were? So we have to get to a point where we recognize the attack, the wiles of the enemy of our destiny, the wiles of the enemy of our purpose. And I lost Reverend Noreen. Block Talk, you're here. Press 1 if you want to be on the air, and I'll put you on the air. Also, Blab, and if you want to take a seat, you could come on in and take a seat. I invite you to be on the Blab with me. We have about 17 more minutes. It's an hour broadcast. But if you've been rejected, and I thank God for Reverend Noreen, amen, but if you've been rejected, I remember being married to a man who I wanted him more than he wanted me. And I remember begging this man as a young woman. I'm 54 now. I remember begging this man to spend time with me. I remember begging this man to take me on a date, to love me. And he just wanted to go his own way. Now, I found out later that I was not his cup of tea. That was before being on the down low was, recognized. But I found out that he preferred reading gay porn magazines, because I found some in our closet, in his closet. So he denied being gay. He said he wasn't gay. But that rejection to that magnitude, it messed me up. It messed me up. I wasn't saved, didn't know anything about the Lord, didn't know anything about the Word of God. But on top that rejection, on top of the fact that I had been molested when I was 10, that rejection on the top of the fact that my father had walked out on us when I was a child, that rejection on top of the fact that I always thought I was ugly, that I always was the one that they picked on in school, that rejection on top of the fact that I had a scar from when I was in a fire when I was a kid. So I was carrying all of this residue, all of these issues, and then I married the wrong man. I made that man marry me. I told him we were shacking up, and I told him, I said, either we're going to get married or we're going to break up, because I want a family. I want a family. I had a baby already. I was a mother at 16, pregnant at 15. And I told him, I said, if you don't marry me, we're going to have to break up. So he married me. And I tell you, women, never make a man marry you. And never make a man tell you he doesn't want you. Amen. I told my daughter and my granddaughter yesterday, never make a man tell you that he does not want you. He will give you clues. He will give you the signs. So all of that rejection, it created a spirit, a comfortable place for that fear, spirit of fear. And I see you out there, preacher's kid. Amen. You can come into the chair if you want to. I love what he's saying over there, to be that living epistle. Amen. We should be that living epistle. And talking about the scriptures being misinterpreted. Often the scriptures are misinterpreted. So for so long, I carried that fear of being rejected again. because I had not dealt with the old issues. So fear had a comfortable place in my life. And so many women have that place that we have allowed fear to come and rest in our lives. And God is saying, let it go. Even before I came on the broadcast today, I thought about Frozen. You know, the movie Frozen, that the little girl, let it go, let it go. I know I can't see. Let it go, but that song that they sing about letting go of the bitterness and really forgiving, I thought about that today before I came on the broadcast. And God was speaking to me prophetically. He's saying to somebody, let it go. You got to let it go. You have to let go of that fear of rejection, that fear that they won't like you, that fear that that you're going to be hated on, that fear that you're not going to be acceptable. You have to let go of that fear that you might mess up. You have to let go of that fear that you might not be good enough, that you're inadequate. You have to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You have to let it go. Let it go so that it can let you go. Let it go so they can let you go, because greatness is in you. My God, my sister, I need what's on the inside of you. And so often, let me just be a little bit more transparent. That fear has stopped me from being open with my sisters. Let me tell you something. There was a time in my ministry as a woman when I came up against so much warfare from other women. I mean, I know I'm beautiful. I didn't always feel like I was beautiful. But today, I know I'm beautiful. I know I'm gifted and anointed. I have God esteem. I have self-esteem. Amen. I know my value. For so long, I didn't. But because today I have this confidence, it's often looked upon the wrong way. And I'm misunderstood. I am often misunderstood. I have a great heart, loving heart, but I have had women just hate on me for no reason. It's like they have ostracized me. My God, have you ever been ostracized? Have you ever been persecuted? Have you ever had to be the one on the outside looking in while all of your so-called friends were having the party, while they were going on with life? They, for some reason, decided to put you on the outside. The same people that you used to run with, now they're running in another direction, and you're on the outside. I had to deal with that in ministry. In ministry, with women in ministry. And, and it hurt me. I'll tell you the truth. It hurt me. So then I began frozen. I became frozen. I got a heart of ice. I said, I don't need them. I cut them all off. I don't need them. I'll get some new friends. If they don't want me, I don't want them. Forget about them. Have you ever been there? When your haters were the ones, they were shooting friendly fire. My God. And, I said, you know what, forget about it. And then I said, I'm shutting it down. My heart is being shut down. I'm not going to love on women. I'll preach to them, but there is this wall that's going up. I put up this wall. And, when that wall is up, I was in effect in my ministry because I've been called to minister to women. I've been called to love on my sisters. There's too much hatred between us. So I let the fear, I let the fear of being rejected again. I let the fear of opening up my heart and having it stepped on again. I let the fear of being hurt again hinder me in my purpose. And until one day I woke up and I said, I wasn't happy. Listen, let me tell you something. Fear can make you miserable. Fear can make you miserable. When you find out that you are frozen, when you find out that your purpose has been frozen, that you can't move forward, that you're ineffective, that you're not moving in purpose, because you can't move in purpose if you are afraid, if you have barricades up, if you have walls up, you can't move in purpose. So when I found out that I was frozen and that I was ineffective and I wasn't walking in love, I was saying I was loving, but there was this thing in my heart. Somebody understands what I'm talking about. There was this thing in my heart, and God said, you have to forgive. You have to do what you're preaching. You have to forgive and let it go. And let it go so that you can minister effectively. Listen, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. God gave me this revelation, and somebody needs to hear this. So what if they reject you? So what if they don't like you? And especially to those of you who are believers, we have to think about this. They rejected Jesus, and people are still rejecting Jesus. But it did not stop him from dying on the cross. I mean, I know everybody might not believe, but I believe. It did not stop him from going to the cross and dying for us. The same people that would reject him, he came for, and he died for all of us. So who are we that we would get so caught up in the emotions and fear and say, you know what, I'm not going to do it because they're not going to like me. They're going to hate on me. So what? I said, so what? So what? Do it anyway. You know what your best revenge is for your haters? For you to do it anyway. For you to be successful. For you to give God the glory out of your life. For you to press through the fear, the naysayers, the haters. Come on, somebody. I know I'm talking right. I've been there, done that. Got some T-shirts, and I am not going back. Amen. So God bless you. Reverend Noreen, again, I see you back. Tell your enemy to have a seat. Psalms, Reverend Noreen says, tell your enemy to have a seat. Psalms 23:5, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And a preacher's kid says, the area of your grace, gift, and calling is the area you will be tested, tried, and challenged in. Praise God for overcoming. We praise God with you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we thank God. We thank God for victory and breakthrough. Amen. So in this last 7 minutes, if anybody wants to have a seat and wants to come in, press 1 on blog. I'm not hearing for y'all out there on blog tonight. Press 1 if you want to be on the air, or come on in and have a seat with me. But you got to move forward. And another thing, I talked about overcome fear with faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about having faith in religion. Religion never got anybody anywhere. But you have to have faith in God. You have to believe God. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. You have to believe that he is. And then you have to believe his word. See, there are so many promises in the word of God for your life. If you don't like the other parts, just read the promises. My God, just go in there and read the promises. And God never gives us, he never asks us for anything without telling us and promising us that he's going to give us something back. So get in that word. Get in your word. They say that Christians are the most illiterate people that are out there. We can't be illiterate. We have to read our book. We have to know what our word says. We have to know what the promises of God for our lives are. We have to, because you can't walk in the promises. You can't stand on the promises if you don't know the promises. And let me tell you something. When you know what God says, it doesn't matter what man says. When you get the word of God in your heart and you say, you know what, I believe God no matter what. I'm going to trust in the Lord no matter what man does to me. If God be for me, that's more than the whole world against me. I believe that God is going to bless me. I believe that God is going to prosper me. I believe that my breakthrough is right here, that no weapon formed against me can prosper. What are you afraid of? Nothing can hurt you. Fear can't hurt you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. My husband just got healed of cancer. The Lord healed him. 6 months ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. Today, he's cancer-free. We went through the 6 months. We went through the chemo, the radiation. We went through the surgeries. And there were only 2 times that the devil tried to bring fear into my heart. When my husband was in the hospital after the second surgery, and then he had the tube up his nose, and he had lost 20 pounds, and he hadn't eaten in 2 weeks, the devil tried to tell me my husband was going to die. But I remembered the word of the Lord.
that said, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, my husband is healed, and that no weapon formed against him can prosper, and that he would not die, but that he would live to declare the works of the Lord. My word told me that my husband was going to be satisfied with long life because he set his desire on the Lord. So I knew my husband couldn't die. Now, and the thing about it is we know that even if he had passed from here, that he still wouldn't die because we don't die, we sleep. We sleep off in the Lord, amen. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, but I had a confidence, and I stood on that word that his work wasn't finished. And my husband went back to work today for the first time. He went back to FedEx. He's a courier. He went back to FedEx today, and he did his job. And, you know, he's resting now, but God gets the glory, amen. So I just want to encourage somebody tonight. I only come on for an hour, and I see you guys out there. I thank God for each and every one of you. But I want to encourage you on tonight. Do not allow fear, people, circumstances, yourself, anything to stop you from being the very best you that you can be. Listen. If you feel that you are inadequate, do something to be better. Go ahead reinvent yourself. I just got this certificate in the mail today. I'm so happy. I've been in school, and I just got a certificate of completion from this class that I was taking, and I'm just so happy. I'm like, this is a great school, you all. If you know about it, Christian Bible, Christian Leadership Institute, and I've been taking classes with them, and I got my certificate in the mail, and I was like, hallelujah. But I've been focused. Listen, if you think you are not good enough or that you don't know enough, go ahead. We have Google. We have YouTube. We have all of this information out here that we can make available to ourselves, so that we can reinvent ourselves, we can educate ourselves, and we can begin to equip ourselves so that we can do that thing that we aspire to do in our hearts. You saw my book. Get my book. I'll give it away if you email me. Pump Up the Power. The first email I get at powerintheword1@yahoo.com, I'll give you a copy of Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want. I wrote this in 2007, and for 5 years I was scared to write another book because right after I released that book, my sister passed away. 3 days later, she passed away, and I was like, God, what are you punishing me? And I was scared to write another book. I'm like, but God has not given us the spirit of fear. Don't allow fear to stop you. Go ahead and do something great. It's already in you. Greatness is already in you. It's in you. I see y'all out there. I see all of you out there, blog and blab. Greatness is in you. Dare to be as great as you were born to be. Don't shortchange yourself. Don't shortchange God. And don't shortchange me. Because I need what's on the inside of you. Amen. So I believe that's the end of the blab today. Because I'm just blabbing by myself, amen. But to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you all for coming. Look, I'll be here every Monday from 7 to 8, and we'll be talking about issues pertaining to women, especially women. Especially women. If you've been rejected by in a relationship, God's got better. I pity the fool that lets you go. I said, I pity the fool that lets you go. They didn't even know what they had when they had you. So you have to see yourself that way. Walk in that confidence. Walk in the confidence of who you are. Walk in the confidence of who God created you to be. Amen. So God bless you. I'm Pastor Rebecca Simmons. My link is up there. Follow me on Facebook, Woman to Woman with Pastor Rebecca, or on my personal Facebook page. I have a group over there, the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group on Facebook. There are about 4,000 women there that are just like me, just like you. They're iron sharpens iron. So come on over to Facebook and join us at the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group. Amen. And those of you on blog, I love you. I love you. I see some of our members out there. God bless you. Pastor Anthony and I love you. We are New Creation Christian Ministries, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. And we meet at 12:30 every Sunday. But guess what? Our sermons are online. We're on YouTube, NCCM, the Kingdom Church TV, or go over to my website at nccmonline.org, and you can hear a word from God, a preached word from God. Amen. So God bless you. We love you. Go in peace and serve our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
With you.